Welcome, everybody. I got a verse for you in Daniel chapter 3, the book of Daniel chapter 3, verse 25. He answered and said, "Lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." This is the fiery furnace chapter in the book of Daniel. We're going to be discussing that in today's program. It's going to be exciting. You're going to be a little surprised some of the things they're going to bring out in this chapter. And it's all in my Daniel study guide that you can see right here, available on the website. All right, get ready. Get your glass of water, some iced tea or something. We'll be back in 30 seconds. Greetings, everybody. The book of Daniel is such an exciting book. Just as you know, I've got a brand new study guide just out a couple weeks ago and available on the at the website. Process call, I go there and get one. Get two. Get one for your pastor. Spiral bound. This is lays flat on your desk just like that. It's really nice. And this will be like no study guide of Daniel you've ever read because it's my bottom shelf, easy to understand commentary here. I think you're gonna glean some good things from it. I know I learned a lot writing it. Had a good time writing it, and struggled on a few things. But anyway, Doc is in the studios with me, and Doc's got some good stuff that he's gonna add. And I put these pictures in here, so you've got a an actual picture of the fiery furnace.
Oh yes,
what's left of what's on the plains of Dura. Why don't I let you start it off?
Oh, well, because I'm associated with the museum, and anyway, Dr. Ron Charles was one of the lead archaeologists in the discovery of the fiery furnace many years ago. Matter of fact, it was Owens Corning that was financing this because the study from the fiery furnace, and if you want to go ahead and put those pictures up of the fiery furnace, the foundations, they discovered there were seven stages by which all of this processed through. And they discovered from this research and their other scientific, this is how they developed spun glass we call fiberglass insulation today, thanks to Owens Corning. But anyway, this is at the inner wall in the plain of Dura, right up against the wall, and this is where they made all of the bricks, primarily the bricks for the structure of the city, the gates, and while that, if you want to show some of the next pictures that we've got in there, these are actual pictures, some of the military that were over there in the wartime. Shared with me their pictures that they took when they went there. This is actually Marduk, the principal god that they worshipped. If you understand some of the history all the way back to Nimrod's world and some of the ancient documents been found, you'll find Marduk as one of the supposedly victorious gods in actually the creation of the world. And so this is on the walls. Nebuchadnezzar put these there. Some of them have been retouched. Others of them are still untouched or redone. This is the lion. This is on the way to the Issachar Gate. And, of course, the lion was very important to them. It was one of their principal military tools, the lions that went out ahead of the army. And so these are actually, you see the turquoise color of it, Dan?
Mm-hmm.
We're still trying to discover how in that fiery furnace, which reached somewhere between 7,000 and 8,000 degrees Fahrenheit in the fourth chamber, and they were able to make this color brick, it's that color throughout, a turquoise color, which appears to have been maybe their principal color for probably a spiritual reason. And show us the next one there. And this is the Issachar Gate. Saddam Hussein restored this.
Yeah.
And but this is what it would look like. Original Babylon had a wall all the way around it, about 15 miles out. And then 15 miles out beyond that was another wall. And this Issachar Gate stood on the what we would call the east side of the Tigris River, Euphrates River. A bridge spanned all the way. And on the west side was another palace. Behind this would have been the palace. On the other side was one just like it. One is the, when you walk through it, you were paying homage to the male god. On the other side, you're paying homage to the female, feminine god. And these were all the bricks that were being made at the fiery furnace that you're talking about in chapter 3. And okay. Everything that came out of that fiery furnace was for the dedication of these false gods that the Babylonians worshipped. And we talked about last week the names that was given, or week before last, the names that were given to these boys connected to some of these false gods. And mm-hmm. so everything at the fiery furnace had to do with the worship of false gods.
Yeah. Okay. Well, the lion that you saw and the Marmaduke, mm-hmm. those are real. Those are 2,500 years old or so. Yeah.
They were. That's what Nebuchadnezzar put there.
Yeah. Those are. Awesome.
There are lions. They're big. Still there today. They're starting to crumble a little, but there are enormous lions that are on statues out there. All of this was Nebuchadnezzar's doing. It would have been one of the greatest, grandest things of its nature at that time.
Now, the verse that we started off for in the introduction, where there was a fourth man in the fire, there's a little bit of debate on this, but not in my mind. That's the Lord. That's
oh,
Jesus.
I'm confident it is.
There's no human that could have survived in there. That was the Lord. And Nebuchadnezzar understood that it was him.
Yeah.
Well, or, you know, he didn't look at him as a savior. He just looked at him as another god, more powerful than all these others, but exactly. Not the God.
He saw it as he saw this God of the Hebrews as being powerful enough to overcome his God of fire.
It's going to be the fourth chapter, the next chapter,
yes.
Next week, where we deal with what happened to Nebuchadnezzar when he was...
And this will, I believe, help you understand that when in chapter 4 he comes to his senses again, he realizes what he saw in that fiery furnace those years before, that is really God.
Yeah. Well, let me read, here's verse 1 of chapter 3. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 80 cubits. That's 90 feet tall, approximately. Mm-hmm. The breadth thereof is 6 cubits, and he set it up in the plain of Dor. And you saw a picture of that actual, that black and white picture. That was the actual furnace that exists to this day, right?
Yes.
I mean, it's what's left of it there. And in the province of Babylon, and as Doc explained, it was just outside the first wall, the inner wall, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
So another 15 miles out is the outer wall that goes around Babylon. And so I wrote this down in my commentary. Remember the head of gold in Daniel chapter 2? Remember that? Chapter 2 of Daniel? The head of gold?
Yes.
I think the Bible doesn't tell us here, but I think King Nebuchadnezzar built an image of himself.
Well, I'm confident he made an image of himself. He made it all gold because it's all about him.
Yeah. Gold, gold-plated, or partially gold. Who knows? I mean,
oh, I don't think
it was. It couldn't have been solid gold. That'd been a lot of gold.
Well, back up a moment. Gold was very important in their kingdom because the bridge that crossed the river between the east and west palaces, every seventh brick in that road was pure gold.
Yeah. They had to have guards out there. Of course, I'm sure it wasn't quite as valuable as it is today.
Oh, well, nobody would have dared to have desecrated because all of this is dedicated to the gods they worship.
Yeah. And so... Daniel told Nebuchadnezzar in chapter 2, thou art this head of gold.
Mm-hmm.
We can't be sure, but my guess is that the image of gold was a statue made in the likeness of King Nebuchadnezzar.
You said he's the head of gold, and it went to his head.
It went to his head. It sure did. And Daniel played that.
I mean,
Daniel knew what he was saying. He knew the king would his pride would be excited about that. I mean, so a cubit's about 18 inches, so this is 90 feet by 9 feet right. wide, something like that. And Nebuchadnezzar sent to gather together. Now, this is important right here. Verse 2, Nebuchadnezzar the king. This is something I think everyone has missed, you know, most everyone. Everyone thinks that the whole province, that everybody had to bow down. That's not true.
There were certain
people that had to be there. Here they are. The king sent to gather together princes, governors, captains, judges, treasurers, Hollywood elite. I mean, wait a minute. Yeah. Is that in there? The Hollywood actors and... Now, if they had existed back then, the Hollywood people would have been here. And counselors, sheriffs, all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And so I wrote this, only the elite were invited to this. That's interesting.
And they were the ones that were the leadership of all of his kingdom. I think he saw it as an opportunity to solidify his rulership, so they'd all be on the same page in the worship of him.
And then verses 3 through 6 here, I'll just skim a little bit of this. All these people I just mentioned, I'm going to skip all that again, but they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the," and he mentioned six instruments here, "the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and the dulcimer, and all kinds of music," which is what you get from these instruments, "ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up." In other words, the golden image of he himself, we think. "And whoso falls not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace." Now that leads me to this thought, Doc. That furnace had to already be, it had to
be up and running. In operation.
If they're going to be thrown in that very hour, it would take a long time to get that thing going and get it heated up.
No.
They didn't have, you know, sprayers spraying fuel.
No, this was an operation that operated
all the time. This is wood
or
coal or,
Yes.
All right. There is no soul liberty allowed under King Nebuchadnezzar. You will worship his God his way or you will be killed.
That's exactly.
No liberty here. That is true in many places around the world today. Even here in America is becoming more prevalent that we have no right, freedom, liberty to worship.
Well, an example would be North Korea.
Yeah.
I mean, they see him as God.
Yeah. So, three boys are there, and the reason the three, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, are there. They're with this group.
They're part of this leadership.
Of all these elite people. Mm-hmm. And you may ask yourself, why are they there? I think they're there because they had been elevated in the kingdom.
Oh, it's obvious.
Chapter 2, right?
That was the whole purpose of their training, was to be elevated to place in one of these positions.
And when with the interpreting of the dream and all that, they got elevated as well as Daniel.
Daniel, we see it as Daniel as the spokesman concerning return. But it's obvious when you look at the text, I'm convinced those three boys.
They were praying together
with Daniel when the vision of understanding came.
So they all got elevated. Now, Daniel's not here. He most likely is
He's probably
busy
out on some other part of the kingdom somewhere.
The Bible doesn't tell us, but we know he's not there because we know he wouldn't have bowed down to this thing.
Yep.
So these guys are there. Everyone bows down except those three guys. Yep. Can you imagine standing there? And all these people, how many hundreds of them are, have all bowed down and they're standing there looking
and,
like
And here's
bumps
what
on
I
log.
Think about that, Dan. Because you've got all kinds of nationalities here besides just Chaldeans.
Yeah.
Okay. And I don't think they were the only Hebrew boys.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm convinced that they were the only three Hebrew boys out of no doubt some others. There had to have been more than just Daniel and these three that were taken captive and trained for these positions.
Yeah.
And so that tells me that even today in an application, only a few in Christianity are really willing to stand for truth and right.
Yeah. Yep. Stand against the government, you might lose funding for your college.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we should never take funding from the government anything. Because the string's attached.
Always a string attached.
And you're going to have to compromise to keep the money going in, or you have to fire your staff.
Yeah.
And most of our guys aren't strong enough to handle that.
And so I can see the application here. I can bring this up to the time in which we're seeing it. And if we were, if religion or Christianity, which narrowed it down to that, was demanded to do this, I wonder how many would still be standing.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's always been a remnant all the way through.
It's always been a remnant. Always.
There's been the 7,000 that have not bowed the knee. That's not a lot, 7,000.
Yeah, but when it's out of all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Elijah thought he was the only one, but there were others, but not a lot.
And I'm glad there are others, but there are times that even some of our preachers that are watching, there are times you get to feel like you're all alone. Nobody else, but there are always some. But I'm here to tell you, it's always a remnant.
You mean like Tigger? I'm the only one. Tigger on Winnie the Pooh. I can't help it. My childhood.
Yeah.
The old Winnie the Pooh cartoon from years and years ago.
I can only imagine. How would you have felt if you'd have been the head musician and you'd been in charge of putting this new music together to bring honor to him?
Yeah.
So you weren't joking a while ago when you said the celebrities were there, because I'm sure the singers were.
Yeah. All right, which brings me, the theme of the chapter, as I put in the book here, is the fiery furnace.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote this, the famous story of the fiery furnace. I'm going to point out something I believe everyone has missed in this chapter. Most of us know the story of the fiery furnace, but I doubt you, and most know about the fourth man in the fire, though there may be some disagreement on some folks about who that is. But I doubt most people have understood or heard anybody preach about what led to this fiery furnace. And that's what I brought out study guide here. Mm-hmm. And you just elaborated towards it there.
Mm.
I'm talking about music.
Yeah.
Music. There were six instruments that played. In fact, four times in the passage here, those instruments are mentioned.
Right.
There are six of them. Isn't that interesting in light of the mark of the beast? And the mark of the beast, 666. The instruments led to the worshiping of the statue, which led to the fiery furnace.
That's right.
Music becomes very important in our story here.
Yes.
Music's very important in the Bible.
Yeah,
we have a whole book of the Bible that's music.
That's
Psalms.
Right.
And
the book of Songs.
Something else we missed is who is expected to be at this event on the plains of Dura. It was not the common man or the blue-collar laborers. It was the elite, and we just discussed that a moment ago. It was the bigwigs. It was the elite, the people with money, the people with stature, and leaders of leaders and governors, and that's who was there. And so, Mr. Gordon, if you go ahead and put my picture out of the book in there on the fiery furnace, we found this... an old picture online, we decided to use. There it is right there. I don't know how accurate that is, but that's some guy's depiction of it. There's the soldiers throwing them in. And, of course, some of them died because it was so hot that they died throwing the boys in. And they're bound, by the way. They're tied. And there you can see, I hope you can see, there's four of them in there. And there's King Nebuchadnezzar sitting on his throne looking in saying, "Wait, did we not throw three in? But I see four."
Yeah.
"And the fourth is like unto the Son of God." Now, he knew who it was. Now, what's wrong with some of you preachers out there that argue about this? Nebuchadnezzar knew who it was. How come you don't know who it is?
Amen.
It's the Lord. And but here's how I liken this. I meant to have you put a gramophone in there, Mrs. Goodman. Maybe we can add it later, but... I have a picture of a gramophone in here.
Yeah.
Because this is what I got thinking about, dog. I liken this story to the annual Grammy Awards. Now, I'll make somebody mad here, but that's okay. We make somebody mad every week, probably. The Grammy Award. Who's at the Grammy Awards?
Well, it's not much different.
Is the janitor there?
I think they have one of those awards just for supposed Christian music, too, don't they?
They probably do. I don't know if it's called the Grammys.
CCM or something.
I picked the Grammy Awards, but there's all kinds of different music
awards.
Got
that statue.
Yeah. Now, this one is like a gramophone, this golden thing that they give them. It's the Grammy. It's the, like a gramophone. But think about who's there, the elites, the rich, the wealthy, the big name, you know, people out there, Hollywood and all that, and musicians. And
they're all worshiping.
They're all there with the tuxedos.
Worshiping the same false god. Yeah.
There's no poor people there. There's no janitors. No garbage collectors there. These are the elite, just like in Daniel's day in this with the
fiery
furnace.
Yeah.
And what's this all about? This is about the worship of somebody who has been a singer. And he's been voted the greatest or the best.
Or the ones of the movie industry. I don't know what they all are, but, you know, they got the best movie and the best actor.
Of course, you got your movie awards, too.
You got all these.
That's called the Oscars, I think.
But everybody's got something like
that. It's all the same thing.
It's all the same.
And it's like you're worshiping these people. And they would say that they don't, but you know that it's a prideful thing.
Well, that's
thing
what we do in church. We sing, and that's a part of our worship. It's really a time of praising and adoring the Lord.
But. So I wrote here, I liken it to the annual Grammy Awards. Only the rich and famous are invited. They have a golden idol, and they seem to worship the winners of the award as each other. And so I got online. I actually found some stuff about music from a friend that used to be at a church that I was at, Ron Alberico. He's an evangelist. I posted some stuff. I gave him credit for it. Talked to him on the. Actually, got permission to use his because he had a lot of stuff that I already believed, but he said it. He had a good way of saying it, and I wanted another voice in here.
Yeah.
So I put a couple of pages of his stuff. He talks about the three parts of music, which I understood. I think he understands it better than I do, but I knew some of this. But he had a way of saying it that was interesting. He said the three parts of music are structured in three ways: melody, harmony, and rhythm. Said that music has those three things, and melody is the main part. Melody is the most important part. It's if somebody's humming happy birthday, you don't need words. You know what he's humming.
Right.
You know the melody.
Mm-hmm.
So melody is very important. It tells you what the song is. Rhythm gives the music its timing, 4-4, 3-4. And then harmony gives the song life and beauty and ornamentation, as he calls it here. He uses bigger words than me. So he's kind of like you, I guess. But harmony adds warmth to the melody. Harmony,
it does.
And then he brings out what I have been bringing out for many years now with people is that Satan knows music. The music was in him.
Well, it seems like the description that we have in Ezekiel is that it was built in his physical makeup, and it just everywhere he walked, it was music.
And he's got, that's what he says. He quotes Ezekiel 28, verses 12 through 14 here. I'll just read a part of it here. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee, in the day that thou was created. So you already had this. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. This is God speaking.
Yes.
Thou was upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Down here, he also he talks about the tabrets. Tabrets are percussion instruments.
Yes.
Pipes is wind instruments. Your son would know all this. Vials are string. So all three main instrument divisions were made into the devil.
That's right.
So it is obvious that he knows music.
Well, he knows it so well, and I believe that it is the tool that he has used to break down all divisions in Christianity. It is the tool that causes ministries, I believe, to devolve.
Let me read just a couple more things from Brother Alberico. Lucifer, and this is all in the book, by the way. Lucifer was a beautiful creation. He was transformed into an angel of light. Or is transformed into an angel of light. He can be. And Lucifer's pride, his iniquity, he fell, and his music fell with him.
Absolutely.
Therefore, there is not only good music that comes from God, who is good and musical, but there is also bad music that originates from Satan, who is bad and musical. All three main instrument divisions fell with Satan. So it is definitely possible for all instruments to be used in a corrupt manner. And since Satan is a beautifully deceptive being, Satan's music is also beautifully deceptive. So,
yes.
Then I bring out some stuff that I've shared for many years, all the way back to my bus route days in Bible college. I preached this very sermon that I'm going to share.
Rock music?
Yeah, it is. It's about rock music. Yeah. I called it Satan's most destructive weapon.
Yeah.
And I still believe that. Music is his number one way to
it
bring
is.
People down.
Well, you named it a while ago. Your friend made it very right. Rhythm can be broken down then into which beat of rhythm gets the emphasis.
Yeah.
Have you ever gone up to the, you're sitting at the stoplight, and all of a sudden you feel your heart, your car going boom,
yeah.
boom, boom, boom. And six cars back there.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Who is that anyway?
And I'm here to tell you, to you and I, it's disrupting. And I'm convinced it's because I have the Spirit of God living within yeah. me, and that guy or gal doesn't.
See, the beat, God's beat is on the one and the three.
That's it.
The world's music,
yes.
rock music, bad music, is the two and the four. It's hard to explain that on a show without playing it.
But the body is designed to respond to harmonics.
The heartbeat is one, two,
absolutely.
Three, four. Rock music is one, two, three, four.
And it's disruptive.
Now, let me very quickly yeah. in the last
I can imagine
we've
what
got.
It must have been like that day.
Yeah.
Mercy.
There, man is a threefold being. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, spirit, soul, and body. That's the three parts of man. Did you know the three parts of music, lyrics, melody, the three parts of a song? The lyrics, which is the words, melody, mm-hmm. and the beat. They speak to the three parts of man. The lyric speaks to the spirit of man. Mm-hmm. Melody speaks to the soul, your emotions, your mood, your mind. The beat affects
yeah,
your body.
It does.
That's your, you know,
exactly.
tapping
that,
your foot
that,
and all
that's
that.
That's why a lot of quote-unquote worship is all about the body.
And we don't have time for this, but one of the most important things I say in the book here is this. Every song has three things. Has an author, has a message, and has a power.
Yeah.
That is true. Every song yeah. was written by somebody.
Here's the thing, Dan, before we get along. These three Hebrew boys would not bend and bow because everything that's associated with this is magnifying false worship.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't have anything to do with
yeah.
it. Willing to die if necessary.
Like the Pied Piper of Hamelin, music is stealing our children from us.
It is.
There's some more in here about music. You need to get this book. You need yeah. to share this with your kids. You need to learn this stuff. Music is destroying our churches. It's destroying our young people. They're running around with earbuds in their head and garbage is flowing into their mind all day long. We've got to learn this stuff. Well, that's all the time we've got. The Daniel Study Guide, that's chapter 3. We didn't get as far as I would have liked, but I think we're okay there. So we'll see you next time. Until then, keep your eyes on them skies.